Lord, now as we turn our attention to your word, we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would be here to continue to impress upon our hearts that which you have for each and every one of us today. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and we'll begin reading there this morning. Luke 24, beginning with verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." Today is Easter Sunday, as I understand we all have come to understand and know. But today is the day that we as Christians celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this is one of the most significant days or events that has ever taken place in the history of our faith. I believe it is the most significant event that has ever taken place in the history of this earth. It is an event that we have even come to know that has given us our measurement of time. Time as we know it was divided by this great event, B.C. and A.D. And so let's celebrate today. Let's give glory and honor unto Jesus Christ, who conquered death for every single one of us, for every man, because it is the resurrection that our faith is based on. This is what our faith is all about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in this message today, what I want to do, I want us to see the hope that we as Christians have. I want us to see that this message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ has something for everyone. Whether you're an unbeliever here today and do not know Christ, there's something there for you. If you're a believer, like most of you are, it is more than just salvation. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is a message of forgiveness for all who have sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we all need a Savior. And so the message of the resurrection of what took place in Jesus Christ is for everyone here today. It's also a message of hope to all of those who are lost in this life. It's a message of salvation to all of those who are lost and without hope in this life. It's a message of hope to all of you who have failed God at one time or another. You know, just because we've been saved, we're born again, we're going to heaven, does not mean that we ever fail God. We fail God at times. And the message of the resurrection gives us hope. Because Jesus said, if we say we have no sin, we make him to be a liar, and that he is a propitiation of our sins, and that he continually cleanses us from all sin because of the resurrection, because he destroyed sin at the cross. It is a message of restored faith to those who have given up. And there may be some of you out here today who have experienced traumatic things in your life, and your faith has been challenged. Your belief system has been challenged, just like we talked about last week, what the disciples went through, where they had all of these expectations of what the Messiah was going to do for them. They were looking at some of the prophecies concerning the end of time as well as when he first appeared, and they were expecting him to come in and be the great king that would redeem them from the enslavement to the Roman Empire, and that they would be the nation of nations, and that Jesus would reign forever and ever. And then because of his death and all of the events that led up to his death, his disciples lost faith in him. They quit believing in him. They abandoned him in his time of crisis. One of his disciples even denied him. Another betrayed him. And so the whole nation began to look at him as an imposter rather than this king that had come riding in on the donkey. And now their faith was shattered and they were in a time of disillusionment. And so the message of the resurrected Jesus is a message of restored faith and belief to all of those who have given up. It's a message of joy. It's a message of peace to those who are sinking in the mire of self-pity and despair. How many of you at times sink into that mire of self-pity and despair? Well, the message of the resurrection of Christ can lift you out of that. It is a message of purpose and destiny to all of those that are without direction and meaning in this life. What happened to the disciples? What happened to the followers of Jesus? They had put everything they had into following him. The Bible says they left all, they forsook all to follow him. Everything that they had was invested in Jesus Christ. And here they are, having the rug pulled out from under their feet. And they're lost once again. They have no meaning, no purpose in life. Their purpose had been put in Jesus. And so the message of the resurrection for them was also a message of purpose and destiny. And so many of us need that in our lives. I believe that's one of the things that we seek for more than anything else, is that reason for living. The meaning for our existence. Having some kind of purpose that we can latch on to and have our lives directed by that purpose. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ fulfills that purpose in our lives. It's also a message of Christ's compassion and his mercy in the dealings with mankind. It's a message of who Christ is. As the disciples failed to perceive the true nature of Christ prior to his resurrection, and that's why they abandoned him. That's part of the reason why Peter denied him. That's the reason why Judas betrayed him. Because they didn't have that full revelation of who he was. They had glimpses of that revelation. But the fullness of that revelation had not entered into their hearts, and we talked about last week why that was. It was because they had preconceived ideas of who Christ was and what he was to do. And because of these preconceived ideas, the fullness of the revelation concerning Christ could not enter their hearts because they had hardened themselves off to him in that area. And so the disciples and the followers of Jesus who had been with him prior to the crucifixion experienced all of these emotions that I've just mentioned to you. They experienced the dilemmas that I have just mentioned to you because of his death and the events that were leading up to it. But not only did they experience these emotions, these are common emotions that each and every one of us experience from time to time in our walk with the Lord. Because we are emotional beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. And part of the makeup of our soul is the emotional element. And many times our emotions fail us. And so these are common emotions that we all deal with. And so my desire today is that each and every one of us would allow the Easter message of Christ's resurrection to touch us where we need it the most today. Whatever area it is in your life that requires attention, allow the message of the resurrected Christ to touch that place today. Give the Holy Spirit liberty to minister and touch your lives, because I believe He's able to. Jesus is able. You know why? Because He's alive forevermore. He's not dead. He came out of the tomb. And after He came out of the tomb, He spent 40 days walking with His disciples, restoring their faith, restoring their belief. And then He ascended into the heavens to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And when He ascended, the Bible says He was not going to leave us as orphans without a comforter. And so when He ascended, He sent the Holy Spirit of God, who is just as much God as Jesus is, to come into our lives and to bring us into the fullness of salvation. And so my prayer today is that through this message, you will be able to grasp the significance of what took place on this momentous day in the history of our planet. So momentous that time as we know it has been divided by this historical event. And so as we saw last week, the message of Palm Sunday, we saw that that week began with tremendous excitement for the disciples and the followers of Jesus. They were ready to crown Him as king. They were ready to ordain Him, to set Him upon the throne of David. And then as the week began to progress, Jesus began to tell them of what was going to take place. He began to speak of His death. He began to speak of the fact that He was going to be rejected by the chief priests and the religious leaders of the day. And that troubled their minds, because that was not the perception that they had of the Messiah. The Messiah, in their minds, since the time that they had been little children, had been someone who was going to come and set them up as a nation of nations, where all nations would flow unto Jerusalem. But all of those hopes were gone, because Christ was now dead. He was now in the tomb. And the disciples were without hope. Their belief was crushed. Their faith was shattered. Even to the point that after His resurrection, when He began to appear to certain individuals, and we saw in the play today how they questioned the fact that He had really risen from the dead. Even though Jesus, and I want you to hear this today, even though Jesus on many, many occasions had told them point blankly that He was going to die and rise again, they did not hear it. They did not hear it. It just went right over their heads. And so now, here we are on resurrection morning, where their belief is beginning to come alive once again. But as I said, the disciples experienced all of these different emotions. The Bible says that they all forsook Him in Matthew 26 and verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. It says every one of them forsook Him in His time of need. One betrayed Him. Another one denied Him. And then we find Peter, after he denied Him, wallowing in self-pity and despair. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then he went out and wept bitterly. He was full of despair. His emotions were at the very bottom. He is without hope. His whole belief system had been shattered. Jesus, who had been so close to him and given him a special name and told him that you were going to be the rock on whom I'm going to build my church. You see, Peter had great aspirations. And now all of those aspirations and hopes are blown to pieces. And then in the midst of that, he denies Christ three times. And so he's just full of despair, full of hopelessness. And then you have to take into consideration, these disciples had given up everything to follow Christ. They're now without meaning. Life is without meaning. Life is without purpose. I mean, think about this in your life. Things that have happened, or things that could happen. You know, we all have some kind of a purpose that we're serving. Some kind of a destiny that we're following. You know, something inside of us that makes us tick, that makes us be the person that we are. And what would happen if everything that went into you, that made you who you are, all of a sudden was taken away from you? And you're sitting there. Who am I? What is this all about? Does life have any meaning at all? And you have to pick up the pieces and begin to start all over. And that's what happened with the disciples. And Jesus understood this. He understood how fragile their faith was. And I think that that's one of the most powerful things in this whole resurrection message, is the compassion and the mercy of Christ, how he begins to restore their shattered belief systems and with compassion and humility and understanding. Because they were now lost and without hope. I think it's kind of unique that these disciples who had been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, that had been experiencing his miracles, seeing all the healings that were taking place. They had witnessed him coming out to the boat in the middle of the storm, walking on water. They had witnessed him feeding the multitudes, 3,000 at one time and 3,000 at another time. They'd witnessed him raising Lazarus from the dead. How their faith must have soared in these moments. Especially Peter and John, who were up there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus when Moses and Elijah appeared. How their faith must have soared in the midst of that. And now we find them in the same state as everyone else. Totally without hope. Their whole belief system shattered. Totally in need of the salvation that only Jesus Christ can provide through the resurrection and the blood that he poured out on his cross. You see, I believe that they needed to see that their salvation was not based on just being with Jesus those years. That they had to be reduced to the same level of need that everyone is reduced to. Where we see that without hope, we are men, as Paul said, most miserable. He says, if it wasn't for the hope of the resurrection, this life would be pitiful. Because it would be here today and gone tomorrow. Nothing without meaning. But all of this was now about to change because of the resurrection of Christ. If only they would dare to believe once again. Now, I know that a lot of you understand these emotions. How many of you have had your hopes set up, your expectations set up? You followed this certain course of events, and you were on this course that was a course of faith, only to find that it didn't come forth as you thought it would. And all of a sudden, all of your hopes are dashed. You know what happens? It's harder to muster up the belief and the faith for the next time, isn't it? Every time our hopes are dashed and they're squelched, it's harder to muster up that belief within us to say, oh, do I dare to believe again? We have no choice, folks, but to continue to believe, but to continue to go forward. There is no other hope but the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this is where the disciples are at now. Do they dare to believe? And I believe that we find that they did. And so I want to talk to you just briefly here about the path to restored faith and belief. And as we begin to look at this path of having our faith and our belief restored, or maybe for some of you, it's having your faith given to you for the first time, I want you to see the mercy and the compassion, the long-suffering of Christ as He goes about to restore the belief of these disciples in Him. I believe He recognizes that they are very, very fragile. And the first thing I want to talk about here is found in verses 5 and 8, Luke 24. And that is that the seeds of truth must first be planted. We must hear the seeds of truth. In verse 5 it says, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee. They're reminding Him of the words of Jesus. They're reminding Him of those seed words. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And it says, they remembered His words. They remembered His words. You see, when Jesus first spoke those words, they couldn't receive them because it went against every grain of thought that they had concerning the Messiah. But now, they're ready to hear. They're ready to open their hearts. And so the empty tomb speaks, and the seeds of belief are planted. They are reminded of what Jesus had told them concerning the rising of the dead. And I like Mark's account of this verse. It really brings out the compassion of Christ. And he says, go and tell His disciples and Peter that He was going before you into Galilee. He says, go and tell the disciples and tell Peter too. He says, I haven't given up on Peter. My love is still for Peter, even though he denied me. I want Peter to be among you when I appear. And so the women that found the empty tomb, they go and they find the disciples and they share with them the account of what had taken place. And this was their reaction. In verse 9, it says, "Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales." They still did not believe. Even though Christ had told them on a number of occasions that this was precisely what would take place, their hearts were so crushed. Their belief system, their faith was so shattered that they couldn't muster it up within them to believe. It seemed like nothing but idle tales. But see, here's the thing. There was enough of the seed of truth that was in that message that they grasped a hold of something. Even though at this point in time, they were not completely believing, there was enough of an investigative attitude within them that they wanted to go and investigate the source of where this word of truth was coming from. And so they go to investigate. Concerning the resurrection of Jesus. Now, they had a choice here. Peter and John, the other disciples, they could have totally given in to the unbelief and the doubt and just followed that course and that course alone. But they didn't. There was enough of the seed that had been planted in their hearts that they wanted to investigate the source of where this story was originating from. And so they went. They began their search for the Messiah. They began their search for the truth. Even though they were not believing, they were resisting the doubts. They were resisting the unbelief and opening their hearts to, yes, maybe there is the possibility that he did rise from the dead. And then in verse 12, Peter comes to the tomb. It says, "Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." But if you study some of the other accounts by the other writers, Peter still did not believe at this point. Because we know the story of what happened to the other disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, and they came back and reported what had happened. It says they still did not believe. And so, in order for our faith to be restored, in order for our belief to be restored, in order for us to come into that place where we believe, there must be a certain amount of openness in our heart that at least says, yes, I will investigate this story. And that's what they did. Because whenever the truth of God's word comes into our hearing, whether it's for the first time or for a particular situation in our life, I think most of us have come to believe and understand that our faith doesn't mature overnight. And that our belief doesn't come into its full expression overnight. We are on a journey from faith to faith. And that on this journey, we experience traumatic events at times that have the ability of totally shattering our faith. And we encounter all kinds of obstacles that require an added dimension to our faith to get on to the other side. And so there are many challenges that come to us where we need to open our hearts to the Word of God, to the truth of God's Word, in order for that faith to come forth. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's through God's Word that faith enters our hearts. And so what begins to happen here now is that they must again dare to believe. In the midst of the most intense and severe circumstances and bitter disillusionment that they had ever experienced in their lives, they must dare to believe. And I have to say, there have been times where I've been to that place where I have had to dare to believe. To step out in God's Word, step out in the truth of God's Word, and then allow Him to confirm that and make it real once again to me. What would have happened to Peter if he had not dared to believe? What would have happened to Peter if he would have listened to his doubts? And not even to go and investigate what might have taken place. I believe his life would have ended in intense bitterness and resentment. Hard, hard road to home. Your life becomes very bitter and full of resentment. And I believe that that's what would have happened to Peter and the other disciples had they not allowed Jesus to restore their faith. But he resisted those doubts. He dared to believe. Just as you and I must do at times, we must dare to believe that God is still on His throne and that He is still capable of pouring out His blessing upon our lives, and that we are still capable of following Him as He has ordained us to do. And so when we do, God is faithful. Amen. When we step out in faith and we say, okay, Lord, I don't totally understand this. I'm not real comfortable with this. But there's enough of the seed of your word in my heart that I want to take a little step. God meets you there. And He builds your confidence. He ministers to you. And that faith begins to grow so that now you're walking with confidence and your belief in Him is growing. And so the second thing that happens here is that when we begin to take that step of faith and we begin to act upon His Word, is that He makes His Word real to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He enlightens our understanding. Because why? We have the Holy Spirit within us who searches the deep things of God and brings them into light in our understanding. And so next we find the story of the two disciples here in verse 13. On the road to Emmaus. And this is one of my favorite stories of the whole resurrection. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew nearer and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. Jesus didn't just come and say, well, here I am. That would have shocked them. That would have been very hard for them to receive. But rather, He comes to them in a gentle way. And He begins to just talk with them. He begins to meet them right where they are at. He simply enters into the conversation that they are having with one another. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? See, there's that sadness. There's that despair. Then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And you have not known the things which happen here in these days? And he said to them, he says, what things? He's playing with them now a little bit. He says, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But watch verse 21. See, again, they're still missing it. They said, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem us from Israel. Who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yet certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb. And so they were with the party that went to the tomb. But him they did not see. Oh, they found the tomb empty, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning, now here's where the word begins to establish their belief. And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. He went back to Moses and traced his prophecies through the Old Testament, through the Old Covenant, and brought enlightenment to their understanding, to the Word of God, something they had not been able to see prior to this. And so Jesus began to reveal himself through the scriptures. Through the word is how he revealed himself. And let me tell you something here today. When our faith rests on the word of God rather than on some experience, our faith is much stronger. And there are valid experiences that we have in God. We all have certain experiences. Peter and John had a great experience with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But you know what Peter wrote later on? He says, this word is a more sure word of prophecy than that voice that spoke from heaven. Because as time goes on, our experiences have a way of waning in our lives. But the word is always there. Steadfast and constant. It never changes. And many times when we relate our experiences to others, the way we relate them change over time. Because either we have built them to be more than what they are, or the memory is simply fading and we're trying to conjure up other things. And so here we find Jesus walking with his disciples, opening their understanding to the Word of God. And I believe that when we have an openness in our hearts that puts us on this investigative course, God is faithful to open his Word to our understanding. In order to see Jesus, and to believe in Jesus, and to have a more fuller revelation of him and his will for our lives, we must first have our understanding opened to his word. His will is revealed to us through His Word. And as I said before, this is what sustains our faith more than any personal experience we may have. And then now we find in verse 36 where Jesus becomes real. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They still were not believing. Here's Jesus right there. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, you see how shattered their faith was? Here is Jesus showing the nail scars, the feet, the wound in his side, still unbelieving. And he says, while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, they were afraid. See, they were afraid to believe. They were afraid to take that dare and say, "Yes, I believe," knowing what would come as a result of that, that they would enter back into, you know, whatever expectations and hope that might be there as a result of their belief. And so Jesus said, "Have you any food here? Let me show you that I'm not just a spirit. I'm going to eat some food." And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. And so he was revealed to them after the Word had been made, had been enlightened to their understanding. And now we come to the last part, where before they did not have a full revelation of who Christ was. Their revelation, we know that they had some part of a revelation because Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. But Jesus said to Peter, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah." And so part of that revelation of who Christ had was in them. But now Jesus, because of everything that had taken place, and now because their faith is being restored, begins to impart to them the fullness of the revelation of who He is. And then He said to them in verse 44, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then He said to them, It is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And so I believe God's desire is to open our understanding, so that we can experience the fullness of Christ, so that we will be equipped for every good thing, to fulfill everything that He has called us to do. I don't believe that we can fulfill our mission in life that Christ has given to us without having a full revelation of who He is. And when we are able to see the full revelation of all of God's attributes, His goodness, His kindness, His severity, everything, through the eyes of our understanding, we are able to fulfill the divine purpose and destiny that He has laid out for each and every one of our lives. There's nothing more fulfilling than this. You know what happened to the disciples after they received the full revelation of who Christ was? They went forth in the book of Acts with a conquering attitude. They went they went forth in the power and the anointing that Jesus poured out among them. Reproducing the very works that Christ Himself did while He was on the earth. Raising people from the dead, performing extraordinary miracles, healing the sick. Taking the gospel to their known world in that day. That's what they were able to do with a restored belief and faith in the Messiah. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, the exceeding greatness of His power, and the fullness of His body. You see, the full expression of Christ is yet to come forth in His body. The body of Christ here on earth is to rise up in all that Jesus showed us. It is to be the total embodiment of Jesus Himself, performing extraordinary miracles, ministering out of a heart of compassion and understanding and long-suffering. And so, as I conclude today, I want to encourage you to dare to believe God for what is needed most in your lives. It doesn't matter how much you've sinned or how many times you've failed God or how many times you've closed your heart off to Him. He will meet you in your place of need. He will meet you right where you are, with a heart of compassion, with a heart of forgiveness, and say to you, you have a brand new start today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, taking everything that has happened and washing the slate clean and saying today is the first day for the rest of your life. Because of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you to open your heart to Him today and to dare to believe, because He is risen. He's risen from the dead and He is alive forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, just for this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. And Father, today we just want to glorify You in our hearts and in our spirits. And Lord, I pray for anybody here that may not know You, Lord, that the seeds will have been planted in their hearts. I pray, Lord, for those that know You, and have been disillusioned at one time or another, have lost hope, and have had the rug pulled out from under their feet. Lord, restore their faith and their belief in You. God, we just pray right now for Your Holy Spirit to minister to each and every one of these individuals. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.